right. Well, we want to thank you again for joining us this afternoon for the Blissfully Together podcast. My name is Kat Lopez Shelby, and I am here with the beautiful and utmost happy and gorgeous Stephanie Masters of Your Girl Friday. She's laughing at me right now. And we have another topic to discuss for what to do when you're getting ready to get married. So what topic are we going to be discussing today?
We're going to talk about venues and all the questions that you should be asking before you book one.
So what do you think are the things that should be thought about even before you get, like, let's say you're thinking about venues? So should you have like a list of 5 to 10?
Venues or yes. Questions?
Venues.
I think you should. However, most of us that are super girly dream of these things by the time we're, you know, like 3, and we already have a place picked out. Like, we know exactly where we want to go and what we want to do. But the problem is that you can't always fit everything you want to into that space. And so there's lots of things that you need to think about and have backup plans.
That is true. Now, I looked online and it didn't have 10 questions. It had 31 questions, and I was like, wow, that's a lot of questions to ask for a venue. But one of the first questions was, what dates are available in the month I'm considering?
Yeah, that's definitely the first thing that you need to ask, because it may not even be available, or you may need to rethink about the date in which you want to get married. I think that that's probably something that most people do think about, though. Most people probably also think about time frames, like, okay, I get Saturday the 14th. I have no idea when Saturday the 14th is, but I get Saturday the 14th. So what time am I allowed in to set up, and what time do we have to have everything out and cleaned up by? Most people do think of that, but that is something else that you need to consider, because if you have a whole lot of stuff and you have a whole lot of people coming, it may take a little bit longer to get out of there than an hour or something like that. So if they want you out by, say, midnight, you need to have your party done and your reception over with way ahead of time. So how much time do you actually get to be in the space? Those are things that you need to ask.
Well, that is a good question, because one of the things is, if you yourself are doing things like, in order to save money, like, you're going to put together the centerpieces and you're going to do this, one of the questions you should ask, can you get into the venue the night before? Or can you get into it at 8 o'clock in the morning? Because I know, like, you've recently experienced where the venue was double booked.
Craziest wedding I've ever had. The craziest thing I've ever seen. The church was double booked, not the reception hall. Mm-hmm. So that made it slightly easier. But seriously, their wedding was 11 o'clock in the morning, and they had another one come in at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And for a Catholic wedding that lasts almost 2 hours on its own. Like, I don't know how they thought in 1 hour we could get all of our stuff out and everybody else could get ready for the next wedding and have all their stuff set up and start. That is insane.
Mm-hmm. Which that is something to think about, is that
it is.
With your venue, can you have the ceremony at your venue and have your reception there? Or are you going to have the ceremony somewhere else and then go to the venue?
Yes. Luckily for this one, it worked out okay, and all of my workers were very helpful about not just getting our stuff out, but helping the next people set up, because they would not have been able to start on time had we not.
You know, but speaking of the same thing, I actually read an article recently, and I do not know where I read it at, so I'm going to put it. It's
about what?
Some wedding article online where they had a venue that was large enough to book 2 separate events, and mm-hmm. what they had asked was for one event to go first, because I guess the procession, when you're walking in, had, like, beautiful harp music. But the second wedding had bagpipes.
That sounds fun.
So they had beautiful harp music that you could hear. However, in the middle of the ceremony, they heard the bagpipes from the other people. So maybe that is another thing to ask. How many, you know, if it's a larger venue where you can have multiple events like that, are you going to have 2 or 3 events on
that
day?
Well, that sounds like a whole new question that I hadn't even thought of. But since you brought it up, the same wedding that we were talking about, their reception was at a hotel, so there's obviously lots of rooms that mm-hmm. can be used for different events, but their music was so loud that I don't know how they didn't hear it 5 floors up. And so Yeah, those are all things that are, I mean, are the walls actually soundproof enough? Or are you going to be distracted by this? Is it going to cause a problem, or is it something that you're okay with?
That's true. So the other questions, I mean, obviously some of these are very common sense. How much is it going to cost to book it?
Yes.
How much is the deposit?
When is the final due?
Is it handicap accessible?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it may not be really a common sense, but most things should be. What is the cancellation policy? In case something happens,
yeah,
I've experienced it personally, but let's just say the cancellation policy. What's the cancellation policy? What is a weather contingency plan? If you have a venue that's outdoor, what are my options? Because that's something really to think about. I mean, here in Texas, we really don't get that much rain, but there are places where it rains.
It poured here last night, so you never know.
Can I move things around and decorate to suit my purpose?
You probably need to get even more specific on that, because sometimes they have pictures hanging on the wall and it's not a big deal to take them down. But most places are probably going to tell you that if you don't like it, you need to drape all the way around it with something that does not actually attach to their walls. So.
Which that leads, I mean, everything, I think all roads lead to budget at the end of the day, because, you know, like we talked about a while back, is that budget is so important. So you already have this in mind. And then I think you need to break it down into what are my top three most important things. So if for you, one of your top things is I want this particular venue, you know.
Right. So let's say that this particular venue that we want is the Midland Convention Center when it opens in a year.
Yeah.
Where are people going to park?
There you go, because you're going to need valets.
You need to ask about parking and what is included. Do they have valets? Can you just add that on as an extra fee? If so, how much? Or do you need to hire a valet service? Parking is a big deal, especially in downtown areas for people,
even in
Midland.
Well, and I even think just in general, I think it's a question that should be asked is what does parking look like? Because depending upon the size of the wedding is going to depend on if that would become an issue.
Right.
You know, in some weddings, it's like, okay, it's a 1-for-1 ratio. Like, you send out an invite, you get maybe one family. Other people, it may be where you get, like, I sent one invite and 10 people show up from that family.
Yeah.
So you need to also keep that in mind. So.
Well, just like the Rose Building in Odessa. We love the Rose Building, but where do you park?
That is true.
Especially if you have more than 30 people coming to your wedding. Like, where do they go?
Mm-hmm. One of the things it says, okay, is how many restrooms are there? And it says there should be at least 4 restrooms per 100 people.
There should be more than that. There should always be lots and lots of bathrooms.
Lots of bathrooms. What security services do you offer? Or is that something that I'm going to need to provide separately? Do you have an alcohol license, a TABC license, or am I going to need to bring in my own bartending service?
Which also means you have to bring in security service.
Then, does the venue have liability insurance, or do I need to get event insurance?
Whether or not they have it, get your own insurance. Okay. It does not cover you personally.
That is a true statement. Let's see.
That covers them from you slipping and falling and breaking your neck. That does not cover you from some drunk cousin that is an idiot that decides to set something on fire.
Mm-hmm. That is true. Now, there's a bunch of questions here in this 31 number where it's, but it all has to do with catering. But one of the things is, if I pick a caterer beside yours, so obviously this location would have a caterer, can my caterer have use of the kitchen? Are tables, linens, chairs, all that available through the venue, or is that something that I need to do separately? Which is a good thing to know, because you need to know
every
in and out.
Well, that's good to know for all vendors. Like, is there certain doors that vendors have to come in and out? What times can they be there? You need to know if there's enough outlets. Like, not, what if they don't have a kitchen, or what if their kitchen is more like a kitchenette where it's just one little galley strip of a counter and that's all that they have? So is there enough outlets either in that space or even out in the rest of the reception hall for people to be able to plug things in? I know that sometimes photographers like to be near outlets so that they can charge extra batteries and things like that and keep things going, especially if they have long weddings like the one that we talked about a while ago. That one was 18-hour day. And so she could have charged up three different batteries. She's still going to run out of juice and had to have somewhere to plug in. DJs need a place to plug in. Mm-hmm. Bands need a place to plug in. So you need to know what access they actually have, what areas are available to them, and if there's enough electrical area for them as well. And then that brings me to not just what area can they be in, but then once you do have a designated area for them, what is that going to sound like the acoustics in the room? Like, are you going to actually be able to hear a band if all the outlets are in the left corner on the west wall? Like, or are you not going to be able to hear them on the other side of the building?
Well, and that's true too, because you really need to think about the acoustics of the building, especially if you have a band, DJ, anything like that. Yes. Because either they're blowing your guests in a certain area completely out where they can't hear right. anything, and then they're just going to run to the other area in order to make it where other people can hear it.
And a DJ might be able to set up speakers in different areas, but a band not necessarily. So much. Mm-mm.
I mean, there's lots of things to think about because, I mean, depending upon the size of your wedding and the different features, amenities, whatever term you want to use, you want to provide. Yeah. So if you're going to have a photo booth, where is that going to be able to be located? That's going to need an electrical outlet also.
Yes.
What time can the photo booth people get there to set up, depending on how
all
they
particularly...
Like, all vendors. Like, just think in your mind who all would be at this... You know, and one of the things, and
because sometimes they have special entrances for people like that too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just depends on where you are.
Not so much with some of them, yes. But the other thing is, you need to find out if you have to use their catering or if you can use any catering that you prefer. Because I know some venues, when they have catering as an option, they're going to want you to use their catering.
Yes, or they charge you a whole bunch extra
exactly.
not to.
So that's something to think about.
You probably ought to think about also what time of day it is. Because what if you did, like, your wedding, it was outside. Mm-hmm. So you do an outdoor wedding. Well, when is your photographer going to be able to actually take pictures of you based on where the sun is? So those are things that you need to make sure that you ask the venue, too, because sometimes there's... part of the building that will block off some of the sun sooner than what, like your house, there's three sides. Actually, most of your backyard has something fairly tall that blocked off areas, and so it made the sun a little bit different than what we originally thought that it would be. So that's something that you need to talk to the venue about, if it's an actual venue and not your backyard, and also your photographer.
Well, definitely. And most photographers, to a certain extent, if they photograph a lot of weddings around town or wherever that may be, they're going to have an idea of different venues and how it works. But I still would recommend yes. talking to the photographer and saying, I'm getting married here. Can you handle this? Like, what are recommendations you make? Is there a certain spot we should be at?
Yes. And then when it comes to the end of the day and you know that you've only got... Everybody's going to run over their time. Mm-hmm. We said we were going to end our wedding at like 10 o'clock, but it ended up going till 11 because everybody was still dancing or something mm-hmm. like that. You only have, say, that hour then to clean up because you had to be out by midnight. Where does everything go? Like, are your vendors already there on standby to help? Do you have extra people to help you take things out? Where does the trash go? Like, do you know where the dumpsters are? I mean, obviously, if it's in your backyard, you know where the dumpster was. But if it's not in your backyard and you're at some venue downtown, where are dumpsters? How far away are they actually? Like, how many trucks do you need to be able to pull up in the back to be able to get everything out of there?
Well, that's true. And one of the things, so one of the venues here in town, this is something you should probably ask, is, hey, if we clean everything up and this place looks spick and span, mm-hmm. do I get some of my security deposit back? Because some places will do that. Not all
a lot of
them,
county places do that.
But some places will, where, like, let's say you pay a $200 security deposit, you mm-hmm. clean that bad boy up, it's spick and span, then they'll give that back to you. And I'm telling you, after you paid for a wedding, I mean, what, $10, you're like, I will take my $10.
Absolutely.
You know, that is a big thing.
So is there anything else on your list that you found?
The only...
Those were just my thoughts.
The only things they added were, for example, if you're getting married at like a hotel or something of that nature, was ask, is there a discount for accommodations?
Absolutely. If you're getting married or having the reception there, I mean.
Yes.
Sometimes they give you discounts if you book so many rooms together anyway.
That's true. The other thing was, do you have signage or other aids to direct my guests where to go? So that would be like if you're at a hotel or you're at an event where maybe they have multiple weddings or multiple events.
Or a big event center where there's too many rooms.
Okay, the other thing it says, if you really love a venue, ask the venue representative to put together a proposal that includes all pricing policies, including tax, service charge, all the fees. So there's no surprises at the end of the day. The other thing is, it said bring a digital and video camera or something with you to each location so you can take pictures of it to use later on. If you're and this might be maybe for an example where, like, let's say you're going yourself. Not in my case, but let's say maybe mom is helping pay for the wedding. Maybe dad is helping pay. Maybe you have padrinos where you need to kind of show them what all's going on.
Right.
It says pay attention to the venue as a whole. So you may love the venue, but the bathrooms are terrible and the lighting is terrible. So
you can spruce up a bathroom, and if there's an outlet, you can plug in some lamps.
And guess what? When in doubt with a venue, the very last thing that it says on here is get everything in writing. Your date is not officially reserved until you sign the contract. And in many cases, you have to sign the contract and get a deposit to make sure that bad boy is yours.
Yeah.
Which I would think would be most places. They could book something else.
Right. Well, and you also, one last thing that I can think about venues is a lot of them, especially if they are in hotels, have their own event planners.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't, sometimes they don't want outsiders to come in and plan that. And sometimes that even means your mom. So that's something else to double check on and make sure that it's something that they can work together if you do have one.
So it does say, now there's a few things to do before you get you plan and say, hey, I want this particular venue. So obviously budget is first. The other thing is know your guest list. So you need to know about how many people you're going to invite, which kind of goes back to what we were talking about before.
Well, a guest list is all about your budget, because mm-hmm. especially if you're feeding them in any way, because they charge per person.
Yeah, they do charge per person.
Places charge per chair, literally the physical chair. They charge you how many chairs you rent, and then they charge you how many tables you need for that amount of chairs, and then they charge you per plate for caterers and things like that. So it's always a per person number. So you need to make sure that you cut yourself off. And by cut yourself off, I mean cut your parents, cousins, sisters, best friends, coworker off.
That's true.
They don't all need to come.
I think you have to keep in mind, you know, who's important. And I think sometimes when, let's say, mom or dad may be footing the bill, or a padrino may be footing the bill.
Their entire office doesn't need to come, though.
That's true. That is true.
And at the end of the day, it is still your wedding.
That is true. There would be some debates on that, I'm sure. But yes, it is true. But it's something to think about. I mean,
you don't want to make them unhappy. You don't want to make them unhappy, especially if they are trying to help you. But it is your wedding. It's yes. not theirs. Yes. They got to have theirs. And if they didn't put their foot down with their parent, that's not your fault.
That is totally true. I agree. So, you know, one thing we haven't chatted about on all these beautiful podcasts that we're doing.
What is that?
Is why are we doing the podcast? And, you know, the reason that we're doing the podcast.
I didn't realize we hadn't.
I don't think we've really talked about it.
No.
I might have to re-listen, but we really haven't. So, actually, the reason we're doing
Shameless plug. And right. Go.
Woo, woo. Shameless plug. But the reason we're doing the Blissfully Together podcast is because we have an amazing wedding magazine that's going to come out in West Texas in January. And we want to give everybody a peek at some of the great content that's going to be in there, as well as just to get to know Miss Stephanie and myself. Can you think of any other reason, something I'm missing?
No, shameless plug. We want you to read the magazine.
We want you to read the magazine. I'll tell you some exciting things. Number one, it's free. So you can pick it up at many, many wedding places. There are going to be locations all over West Texas that will have it. So that includes Lubbock, San Angelo, Midland, Odessa, El Paso, and, of course, the smaller surrounding areas.
Absolutely. We're not leaving anybody out.
No, no one out. And when in doubt, you can always check out our website at blissfullytogether.com. If you go right there right now, you can get added to our email list to be notified once it is released. If you have any interest in anything else, feel free to email myself, that's kat@blissfullytogether.com, or Miss Stephanie, it's stephanie@blissfullytogether.com. I think that shameless plug about closes up the podcast. What do you think?
I think that sounds pretty good.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.